taping. Sue Elkin, it's May 8th, 1990 for National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project. You want to state your name again?
Sue Elkin.
Thank you.
When did you start the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop?
In 1977.
And what cause did you start that?
The need for help, meeting other writers, seeing what the, hearing the type of work they did, and that basically was it, the give and take of a workshop.
How did you go about starting it?
Put notices in the paper, called one person and then another, you know, asking, know anybody interested, and it was very difficult. And I also put posters out all along the avenue, which didn't mean too much. But it did, it took it a while to get off the ground, but when it did, the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop has a reputation that is very far and wide. And a waiting list that is very, very long.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, are there other workshops similar to it?
There may be in the universities. There are none that I know of. Oh, there, wait a minute, there is one now out in Mount Lebanon. We are, I have had, in order to maintain continuity of this thing, I had to be lay down some very hard and fast rules. And one of them was commitment. You cannot show up 1 week and not come back and, you know, and miss the following two sessions. You just can't do it. So know now that if you commit to this and you miss two sessions without having called to let me know that you are going to miss, don't bother coming back. Few people thought that this was just a gag, that I would never, never carry through. They found out that I meant it. Because I literally closed the door in their faces. Anyone who started being erratic in attendance and without calling to let me know, the door was shut and they were never admitted. And the other thing is that you have to present three pieces of work for the admissions committee.
Who were the original people in the workshop, do you remember?
That's pretty hard. I can say that Kermit Jackson is one. D. Walker is another. Al Andrews. These are people who were, at that time, Kermit lived in North Versailles Township. Dee lives in Fox Chapel. Al Andrews lives in Mount Lebanon. Some of the other people, one person lived in Denora. This was called the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop. I think I was the only one from Squirrel Hill.
And you meet the library? No.
Well, we meet at the library every other week.
The Squirrel Hill Library. Mm-hmm.
Every other week.
Is there anything special about it that you'd like to elaborate on?
What is special about this group is that we are at the point of, this is a cliche already and very trite as well, a family. This group is so closely knit that we have at least once a year a get together. But anything social must be done not on the Saturday that we meet, but on the off Saturday, because they will not give up a session. If a session has to be missed because of a holiday, they will do two in a row. We don't close down for the summer. We go all year round.
Very committed people.
She meet every other week?
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday evening or?
Afternoon. I no longer am in charge of the workshop.
Right.
I turned it over. Much as I hated to do it. We just put out a book.
What's the name of the book?
The First Decade.
And that's with the group poetry? I mean, everyone contributed?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the idea of a group of poets getting together is probably, seems like it'd be just as important as musicians getting together to play, you know, to nurture each other.
I'll tell you, if you heard some of the comments during a session, you might not consider them nurturing.
Well, all you need.
I mean, they can be very stiff, but I will tell you one thing. There is no brutality. I mean, no one is out to hurt or belittle. The comments are made succinctly and to the point, but never in such a way.
You mean they're not personal? They're personal in terms of your work.
That they will hurt the person. Now, in the beginning, there were a few members who were very hurtful. I put a stop to that because, first of all, they were just beginning to pounce and never once would have anything good to say about anything. And now it's not like that. In fact, there's a standing joke I started. There's one member of the group, she said, "I just love that poem." And I said, "When she starts out that way, know that a but is going to follow, and then she will start her criticism." But she means it. She liked the poem, but she will tell you what she felt is wrong with it. Of course, one of the things I do, and that Kermit does now, is I always told people who even called to inquire about the group, just remember it is your poem. And no matter what changes may be suggested, the final decision is yours. You can try all those changes on for size. They can't get into your head and know exactly what you were thinking when you wrote that poem. So their changes may be totally out of whack with your own thoughts when you wrote that poem. You don't have to throw out their changes without trying them. It's good to try them. That too is learning. But it's your poem.
How would you describe the creative process that occurs when you write a poem, or the, if you were to even articulate a technique that you would use to sit down and write a poem? What do you do? How does it come to you?
Well, a lot, something may hit me, a phrase, a line or something, and I'll think, that's good. good idea for a poem.
Do you see it first in your mind and then you just do it?
I use my typewriter for that. And I just put down what I think, and then I edit and re-edit. And
how long do you normally work with a poem?
Well, a poem really is never finished.
At what point do you stop?
Well, sometimes I stop if I'm going to meet with Alan. And see what he thinks of it. Now, meeting with Alan isn't teacher and people, it's workshop. It's a one-to-one kind of workshop setup.
Alan, what's his name?
Levine. Like he will say, I think, something is missing, or but he won't tell me what. It's up to me to figure out what. It's up to me to supply the words. I know there was one poem that I had, that it was in the first book I had published, and we worked on that poem. I need the last line. We worked, and finally every week I'd show him something else I had added. No, sorry. Finally, I said, you know why none of these work? I said, the poem is finished. That's why nothing else is working. And that's the way the poem was left. It was finished. The title was the last line to the poem.
Hmm. You get inspirations just during the day?
Oh, you know, this is really inspiring.
What? Oh, you mean outside of the view?
Yeah.
I always wondered if a poet had a poetic point of view every moment, you know, like when you're observing something. And that's why they, yeah, so.
I used to get a lot of things from walking and observing. An incident had once happened to me, and it was not a very pleasant incident. And when I came home, I just did a stream of consciousness kind of thing. I put my paper in the typewriter, and just the fingers took over from there. And I just wrote the whole thing down. That was never changed. It just came out exactly as it happened.
And it was finished.
Other times I will do stream of consciousness type of things and then have to edit them. But this was done. This was over and done.
You have a favorite poem? Well, that's like saying a favorite child, I guess.
Well, Roseanne had asked me to get some you didn't bargain for this, did you, Roseanne? It is Roseanne,
it's
right?
Roseanne, right. That's great.
You can take what
we
you
can
want.
Have
yeah, you
and
can
put this in the file?
If you want to, yeah.
Do you like to read your poems? Or do you tell us?
I read, you know, quite often I will go over old stuff. If I can't write, if I am going through a dry spell, I'll take a pile of old stuff over and edit it. That's why I say a poem is really never finished.
Mm-hmm. I had read this poetry selection, Waiting for Order. Was that your second one? Or?
Yeah.
And the most recent publication is
another language.
Hold on a minute.
Do you see a change in your style from when you
started? Not really.
To now?
No.
Or the poetry that you write, does it cover a similar topics?
Well, another language, and incidentally, if you ladies have any old people or elderly women friends, it's a marvelous Mother's Day gift on display at the Mother's Day ideas section at the bookstore.
I was just going to go buy a Mother's Day gift.
No, seriously. Yeah, that's what they had out last week anyway for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Is that called another
language?
Mm-hmm. Is it similar to this one? Is it?
Oh no, it's
bigger or thicker.
It is a I think I have it.
It's photography.
That's a silk print. This publisher loves to work with coordinating photography. That's why I said, if you need any ideas for,
I might just go right over there and get it.
The photography in here is excellent. Isn't this lovely?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is.
Is that a Pittsburgh photographer?
No, California. Now the next book that she's doing of mine, which hopefully will be out, and I'd like it out before I conk out, should be out, she said. She was projecting for October or November. That's going to be a lot bigger than this. A lot more work in it. And a special section for Holocaust poems as a favor to me.
Do you do a lot of poetry about Holocaust?
Not as much as I would like to. That's very hard to do. Because I did not live through it. And therefore I can only write as a bystander.
Did you have family?
The closest family are my machatunim, my daughter-in-law's parents, who are survivors.
How does the political or environment, does that affect your writing?
Sometimes, yes.
In what way?
Oh, wait a minute, what do you mean by the political environment? I have written political poems, if that's what you mean.
That's what I mean. Does it affect your writing?
It doesn't affect my writing. I mean, if something happens that I think that will turn into a poem, fine.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back and ask you a few things I think we missed. And I never really asked a lot about your family. We asked a lot about your working, and that's what you're doing, your family. Can you comment anything about raising your children? Anything you want to say about that? Your social life, vacations, hobbies, things like that?
I am not a social person. I don't mean that I am antisocial. Don't get me wrong. I love to be with people, but not large groups of people. I like to be with people where you can have a one-to-one conversation, not where you're standing with a glass, or you are conspicuous by not having a glass in your hand in a room where everybody else is holding a glass. This is not my idea of socializing. I don't enjoy that.
Did you have any special hobbies before poetry? You know, anything special that you enjoyed doing?
After I was married?
Mm-hmm.
No. Cooking, yeah. Baking, raising the kids. Who has time for a hobby?
That's a, I can relate to that. You said you belonged to Rota Shalom? Is that after you were married?
No way, no. That's where we joined, and my dad belonged because of Dr. Goldenson.
What about after you were married? Were you affiliated with anything?
No, not until Jimmy was born and old enough to want to know when he could start Sunday school. Then we joined Temple Sinai.
Were there any? Did
that was a matter of convenience. That is, from where we were living at the time on Beacon Street, it was very simple for him to take himself over there.
Uh-huh. Were you involved in the synagogue at all, or
no,
not really? Any other Jewish organizations that you were involved in?
Dues-paying member.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay.
I found the Jewish community lacking.
In what?
When my first book came out, No Longer Afraid, I got a letter from Vintage in East Liberty inviting me to be the keynote speaker at a two-day conference they were having on aging.
Yeah.
Now, Vintage is not a Jewish organization.
Right.
I heard from a couple other non-Jewish people. I never heard a single word from the Jewish community other than Milton Sussman. And I found that a deplorable situation.
Now, Milton Sussman
used to write for the Jewish Chronicle a column.
Right.
In the, on entertainment.
And he praised the book highly.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing. I was not asked to read at anything. I was never asked if they could have the book for a library or anything.
Well, here we are recording it for
and I thought, God, is that thing still on?
Yeah.
Why did they, this should not go in there.
Okay.
I think that, I there is something lacking. I think. As a matter of fact, when Another Language came out, there was an article in the Chronicle, and they mentioned that I was a member of Temple Sinai in the article, but I never heard from Temple Sinai either.
Even to now?
Even now.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, incidentally, has been reviewed in Kansas. It was reviewed in Gary, Indiana.
That's where I'm from.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, I have the review from the Gary,
that's
Indiana
funny.
Paper. It was
I'm going to send it to my mother now.
I don't know. Several out-of-town papers. Of course, that's due to the publisher, who is a whiz at marketing. She knows every angle, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But it has received national and international distribution because she has a distributor in London.
It was reviewed in the local, in the Pittsburgh,
yeah,
Press.
Yeah, it was
on the
reviewed
Post-Gazette.
Not in the Post Gazette because they wouldn't do it in the press. If
highly,
the press
highly
did,
praised.
Yes. The press did, but the Post Gazette said they couldn't if the press did, which is beyond my comprehension. I mean, he has said, Hoover has said a lot of nice things about my writing. And the last nice thing he said was, or the most recent was, when he reviewed Judy Robinson's anthology called Living Inland, in which I had three poems. That is a book of Pittsburgh poets, women Pittsburgh poets. I think there were 26 poets chosen, and photographers, women photographers. And Hoover had some very nice things to say about my work.
How do you view your accomplishments and successes?
I don't, because I don't believe I'm a poet. I don't call myself a poet. I am not a poet. I have a far cry, far distance to go to be a poet.
What would you call yourself?
I don't know. I really don't call myself a poet.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I can't
call the poet. Who would you call a poet?
Whitman. Sylvia Plath.
Why would you
people.
Call them? If you do poetry, is there a definition that you feel lacking? Or
yeah,
they
I
their
feel
life?
Very lacking. Yeah, I do.
Can you describe to us in what way?
Yeah, I'm over, I feel that I am oversimplistic. I am not real, I do not write ambiguous type of poetry. I may have poems where you can take a dozen different meanings out of certain phrases, which is very good. But you can sit down and read it and understand what you're reading. You can feel the poem. I would like, at times when I hear some of the university or read work that university poets have written, I wish I could write that way. And Alan gets very annoyed, and he says, I wish you could write that way. They're just going into a lot of double talk.
What do you view as your most significant accomplishment?
My two kids, I guess.
In retrospect, is there anything that you would do differently?
That's a terrible question.
It is a hard one.
I do not know. I would, if I could, be born again. I like to be born healthy,
mm-hmm.
and be able to do a lot of things that I can't do. I am very, very limited. But you accept that too. I mean, it's become a way of life with me, an unpleasant way, in the sense that all too often I have to let the kids down and possibly not be where they needed me or wanted me. Or going and knowing that I was there not well. I don't like that. That's what I would do differently. I don't know what I would do. Maybe I'd be a better wife. I'm a nudge.
How long have you been married now?
It will be 50 years in 2 weeks.
50 years in 2 weeks? My goodness. Special.
Not really. When you see today that this one's been married 60 years, somebody was married 70, I'd like to know when the hell they got married.
Teenagers
be damned. Their pictures be lie, unless those are old pictures that were in the Chronicle. This couple was married 70 years ago. They live at Riverview. They don't look any more than 70 years old. When did they get married? In the cradle?
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
Oh, come on.
Did she answer that one?
Ask Carol that question.
Are there any other awards or honors that you haven't mentioned to us that you may have received?
I received awards from the center for the work that I did there. As far as poetry is concerned, in 1957, I won the Esther Scheffler Poetry Award for Best Poem of 1957. That was published in the Centennial Review, which is the very literary magazine put out by Michigan University.
I'll say you did right.
1957.
That was before you started.
I'm sorry, 1987.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
God help me. 1987. It's a good thing you mentioned that. No, I don't think I would have won any awards then. And I won first place in a